All right, let's dive into this. Marketing, right? Specifically, we're looking at what makes ads controversial. And also, like, the flip side, what makes stuff go viral?
Yeah, totally.
And you know, you've given me such an interesting mix of stuff to look at here. Articles about, you know, ads that have caused a stir, case studies of these viral campaigns, the psychology behind why people, you know, share things, and best practices, even for Instagram storytelling. It's a lot.
It is. It's going to be a fun one. I think it's interesting how controversy and going viral seem like opposites, but actually have some stuff in common.
Okay. Yeah. Good point. So before we get into the weeds of like specific campaigns, can we even define controversial advertising? I mean, we all kind of know it when we see it, but what are those common like threads?
Well, a lot of times these ads, they touch on sensitive topics, right? Gender, race, social issues, things that can spark a lot of debate. Divide opinions. We've got like Nivea, Gillette, both had ads that kind of went there and, you know, face backlash. Sometimes, though, the controversy is just the content itself. Like, there was that Nivea ad that linked purity with whiteness. That's a good example of, like, crossing a line, being outright offensive.
Yeah, that's definitely a risky move. And like you said, it doesn't always work out right. So besides these like sensitive topic ads, are there other types that tend to be controversial?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You've got shock tactics, like try to grab your attention, but can backfire. Remember that KFC ad, empty bucket, the FCK logo?
Oh, yeah, the one where they were apologizing for running out of chicken?
Exactly. People had some thoughts on that one.
Yeah, they did.
Lots of mixed reactions. Then there's the ones that are misinterpreted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe cultural insensitivity or unintended meanings. There was that Gap ad accused of being racist because of how the kids were portrayed. Oh, and we can't forget the misleading ones, you know, lack of transparency. Fire Festival comes to mind.
Oh, speaking of Fire Festival, that's a whole other level. Talk about controversy leading to, well, disaster. What a lesson for marketers, huh?
It really is. Shows you. Hype without any substance is a recipe for implosion.
Yeah.
They were masters of influencer buzz, but built on empty promises and misleading visuals. They went all in on that influencer hype, but didn't make sure the actual experience was anything like what they were selling.
Makes you realize how crucial authenticity is.
Right.
Especially now, people can sniff out anything that feels like fake in a second.
Totally.
Seems like aligning your marketing with what you're actually delivering is like more important than ever.
Oh, absolutely. Consumers are smart. They see through that empty hype. The Fire Festival, that's a harsh reminder that if you overpromise and underdeliver, you risk not just controversy, but like totally losing trust.
Right.
Stakes are high.
So we've seen that controversy can be a double-edged sword. Some brands, you know, they use it successfully. Others, they get burned. What makes that difference? Why do some of these controversial ads like actually succeed?
You know, It's tough to say for sure. What's interesting is not all of them end in a PR nightmare.
So it's like a spectrum of outcomes.
Exactly. Yeah. Some result in backlash, brand damage, even financial losses. Right. You've got like that Peloton ad around the holidays a while back, or that Nivea one.
Right.
But others, even with all the initial like uproar, they achieve their goals. They get people talking, maybe even see a bump in sales.
Huh.
Like Gillette's toxic masculinity ad.
Oh, yeah.
Praise and criticism, but definitely started a conversation.
Yeah, and remember that KFC one we talked about? I was surprised a lot of people actually liked it. They saw it as like honest and funny, especially with all the supply chain stuff going on.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so interesting, right? There's no easy answer. Like with Gillette, do you think that was a successful campaign?
It's a tough one, right? I mean, it depends what you're measuring. Sales, awareness, social media buzz, or just, you know, impact on the bigger conversation.
That's a great point. Success here, it's complicated. Depends on the brand's goals, who they're trying to reach, the whole context.
Right. It reminds you, marketing isn't just about a catchy slogan or a cool ad.
Yeah.
It's strategy, understanding people, having a vision, you know.
Maybe to really get this, we need to look at a specific example. Fire Festival, maybe.
Oh, yeah, the Fire Festival. Classic case of hype over substance,
yeah.
Failing to deliver on promises. Yeah. Plus, it hits on a lot of what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Controversial tactics, influencers, authenticity, the whole thing.
So for anyone who, like, missed that whole saga, Fire Festival was this super hyped event pushed big time by influencers like Kendall Jenner was involved.
Right.
Promising like luxury, amazing food, exclusive experiences. Tickets were thousands of dollars. But when people got there,
oh, it was a mess.
Chaos. total disorganization, nothing like what they'd advertised, became viral, but for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, and that's where the marketing analysis gets juicy. They relied way too much on influencers without having anything to back it up. Like, they created this image of luxury using amazing visuals, celebrity endorsements, but it was all smoke and mirrors.
Style over substance. Mm-hmm. And it backfired spectacularly. It's crazy how social media can amplify both success and failure, isn't it?
It really is. In this case, it spread the word. First the hype, then the disaster.
Yeah.
A cautionary tale for sure, showing how important it is to be transparent and align your marketing with, you know, the actual experience.
Lesson for any business, honestly. Today, authenticity, that's everything. Consumers see through the fake stuff. They're quick to call it out.
I totally agree. Let's shift gears a bit now. What about the other side? What makes marketing go viral? Like, what are those key things that make content spread like wildfire?
Okay, let's get into the science of virality. We've seen how it can go wrong, but what makes it go right?
Well, a big one is emotion. Think about the stuff you share online. It probably makes you feel something, right? Joy, surprise, even anger. Those emotions make us want to share.
True. When I see a video that makes me laugh out loud, I got to share it with someone. What about you? What's like a recent video shared? What made you want to pass it on?
Good question. Another thing is this social currency idea.
Okay.
Sharing things that make us look good, right?
Yeah.
Smart, in the know, part of something cool.
Like you got this inside scoop and you got to share it.
Exactly. And then, of course, relatable stories. Content that connects with our own experiences, like our hopes and fears. That's powerful stuff.
So it's like strong emotion, sharing valuable info, and that human need to connect through shared experiences.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. Now let's look at some campaigns that actually like went viral.
Let's look at some of those big viral campaigns like Oreo's Dunk in the Dark, that Super Bowl tweet, the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, of course. Mm-hmm. Old Spice with all their humor and Pokemon Go, that blend of nostalgia and AR, all incredibly successful. What can we learn from them?
Yeah, that's an interesting mix. They all like captured something about that moment, right?
Yeah.
That made them so shareable.
Well, you see agility with Oreo, right? Capitalizing on that blackout real-time marketing genius.
Right.
ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, that was all about user-generated content and a good cause. Old Spice, they showed how humor and being unexpected can make you stand out. And Pokemon Go, tapping into nostalgia and using new tech, created this like shared experience.
So looking at them all together, what stands out to you from a marketing perspective?
I think they all show how important it is to be relevant to what's going on, to take risks, be authentic, and have a clear call to action. They're not afraid to be bold, try new things, and connect with people on an emotional level.
It's interesting though, right? They feel organic, authentic, even though they were planned marketing strategies.
Yeah.
That's a tricky balance.
It is. I think that's the art of it, you know, making something feel genuine, even if it is meant to promote something.
Okay, so we've talked about virality in general, but what about specific platforms? It seems like different approaches work better in different places. What about Instagram, for example? It's all visual, right?
Totally. Instagram, it's visual storytelling. Mm. Brands like Airbnb, Dove, Lego, they've really figured out how to use visuals to tell stories that people connect with.
Like, give me some examples. I'm always curious how brands do that on Instagram.
Well, like Airbnb, they use these beautiful travel photos, often with stories from hosts and guests, to create this feeling of community.
Right.
Dove, with their Real Beauty campaign, they use Instagram to challenge those, you know, typical beauty standards by showing diverse women. And Lego, they use like user-generated content showing what people create, all about that creativity.
Oh, and BuzzFeed Tasty. Those recipe videos are like perfectly shareable, so visually appealing. And then there's like the World Economic Forum. They use really powerful images to raise awareness about things like climate change. Remember that photo highlighting electric cars in Norway? Like a single image can say so much.
Exactly. Strong visuals can evoke emotions, start conversations, get people to act. When done well, they're super effective at conveying a brand's message.
So if someone's trying to figure out how to use visuals to tell a story on Instagram, what advice would you give them? It can be overwhelming. There's so much content out there.
It is a lot. The key is think beyond just pictures of your product. What story are you telling? Use personal stories, behind the scenes stuff, testimonials, anything to humanize your brand.
Right. Make that connection. So it sounds like that balance between looking good and having a strong narrative, that's key for Instagram success.
Yeah.
What about stories specifically? Those seem to have their own like rules.
Yeah, Instagram stories, they're great because they're more informal, spontaneous, more interactive. Think of it as a way to give your followers a peek behind the curtain and connect with them more casually.
Okay, so best practices for making those stories engaging. Always looking for new ideas.
Well, one thing from those articles was how important it is to use music, interactive stickers, polls, those Q&A things. Makes them more fun, you know, people can participate.
I love those countdown stickers, you know, to build excitement for a launch or an event. Adds urgency.
Those are good. Other things that work? Those progression posts, telling a story over multiple slides, hiding your hashtags so they're not cluttering things up, using custom fonts to match your brand.
What about influencer takeovers on stories? Seems like that's become pretty popular.
Yeah, it has. It gives people a fresh perspective. You can tap into that influencer's audience, increases reach, and adds to that authenticity.
But we got to remember, right? All these tactics, they're just tools. They can boost your content, but the core has to be good.
100%. Quality content, genuine storytelling, that's essential. Don't get so lost in the tricks that you forget to actually tell a story that people care about. Authenticity always shines through.
And that's a good transition, I think, to the psychology of why things go viral. Why do some things catch on and spread like crazy, while others, just as carefully made, don't?
Yeah, it is fascinating. Why do we hit that share button? What's going on in our brains?
Yeah, what are those like underlying mechanisms?
Emotions are huge, what we touched on before. Content that gets us really feeling something, joy, surprise, anger, that tends to get shared more. Think about it. When was the last time you shared something that you felt like neutral about? Probably not that often.
It's that like, I gotta tell someone.
Yeah.
Feeling
yeah.
When you see something hilarious or shocking.
Exactly. And it's not just sharing the content, it's sharing that feeling. Another factor is social currency. Sharing stuff that makes us look good, smart, funny, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's about our social standing, even if it's just a little bit.
Like you've got that insider knowledge to share.
Right. And then there's relatability. Sharing things that connect to our own lives, our hopes and fears. Yeah. It's a way of like saying, hey, I get it. I feel that too.
Finding that common ground.
Yeah. And it's not always deep stuff. Research shows we share things that are practically useful too. Tips, life hacks, useful info.
But this is so helpful. Gotta pass it on thing.
Yes. And lastly, surprise. Stuff that's unexpected makes us think differently. Those things grab our attention and make us want to share.
Like when you watch a movie with a twist ending and you just have to talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Surprise makes things memorable. In a world full of information overload, it's about making something that people won't forget.
So for marketers, what does this all mean? How do we use this psychology stuff to create content that actually connects? It feels like there's a lot to think about.
It's true. Not easy. But the takeaway is understanding what makes people tick, what makes them care and want to share, that helps us create content that works on a deeper level.
It's not just about pushing a product or a message,
no.
Right? It's about what makes people people.
You got it. It's about weaving those elements, emotion, social currency, relatability, practicality, surprise, into your story, your visuals, your whole brand. Speaking of which, all those articles you gave me really emphasize user-generated content.
Oh, yeah. UGC. Such a powerful tool. Authentic, engaging, builds community.
And it feels more real, right? Like the ice bucket challenge. That wasn't some corporate campaign.
Right.
It was people challenging each other, filming themselves doing the silly thing and donating to a good cause. Had all those elements we talked about, and it blew up.
And it wasn't just the challenge itself. It was the stories people were sharing.
Hmm.
Why they were doing it. Their reactions, raw and real and really powerful.
That's what's so cool about UGC. It lets people be part of something bigger, tapping into a level of realness that brands often struggle to create themselves.
And it builds trust.
Right.
People believe a recommendation from a friend more than from a company.
Definitely. More personal, trustworthy. Like Lego does this well on Instagram. They repost stuff their fans make, shows off creativity, inspires others.
And when a brand reposts your stuff, it makes you feel seen, valued, builds loyalty.
So much power in that. But it's about collaboration, not just taking. Give credit, ask permission, engage, build that relationship.
It's a two-way street, a win-win for everyone.
Exactly. Oh, before we move on, one more thing from those articles that I found really interesting. Niche-specific reactions.
Okay, tell me more. That sounds cool.
Basically, it's that different online communities, they have their own language, humor, inside jokes. You create content that speaks directly to that. It can be incredibly engaging, help things go viral.
Like an inside joke, only certain people get it. Makes you feel like you're part of something.
Exactly. Find your tribe, speak their language. That's often where virality starts. Those small, passionate groups can amplify things, help it spread wider. They're the trendsetters.
The spark that lights the fire.
Mm.
Okay, before we wrap up this part, we have to talk about authenticity. It feels more important than ever online, where everyone's bombarded with content and can spot anything fake a mile away.
Authenticity is, it's everything now. In a world obsessed with perfection, being real stands out. People want that. They want brands to be human, relatable.
It's letting go of that perfect image and just like being yourself.
One article had this great analogy. Authenticity is like talking to someone at a cafe in Paris. Just casual, unscripted, genuine.
I like that. Just connecting, being yourself.
And that's what people want online. Great. We're tired of all the polished corporate stuff. We want the real you.
Brands like Dove have done a good job with that. Their real beauty campaign showing real women, diverse bodies, real stories.
And people loved it. It was about celebrating individuality, not being perfect, showing that beauty comes in all forms.
A powerful message, and it seems like it's really working. Sometimes the best marketing is just being human.
Totally. That's a good place to pause for a sec. We've covered a lot here. The psychology of virality, user-generated content, authenticity.
I know. It's amazing how much goes into making a successful marketing campaign. It's a lot, but it's fascinating. All right, listener, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back soon for the final part of our deep dive into controversial ads and viral marketing. Okay, welcome back. So after all that, I'm ready for the actionable stuff. How do we put all this into practice?
Yeah, we've covered a lot. How to even define controversial ads, what makes things go viral, the psychology of sharing.
A whirlwind tour of the marketing world. I feel inspired, but you're right. Time to focus on what we do with all this.
Right. Let's start with that idea that controversy, it's not always bad.
I got to say, that one's been sticking with me. It's kind of counterintuitive, but I see what you mean.
Look, I'm not saying brands should go out there to offend people. That's a bad idea. But sometimes if it fits with your values, taking a stand, shaking things up, starting a debate, that can be good.
Like that Gillette ad.
Mm-hmm.
Upset some folks, but it got people talking about an important issue.
Exactly. If you're going to do it for the right reasons. Be authentic. Stand behind your message and be ready for how people react.
Makes sense. So controversy can be a tool if used well, but virality? Is there like a secret formula for that? Seems like sometimes things go viral out of nowhere.
If only there was a formula, we'd all be famous online. But we can use what we know to, like, increase the chances of something catching on.
Okay, so what are those key ingredients for virality again? What makes people share?
Think back to what we talked about. Emotion, social currency, relatability, practical value, surprise, and good storytelling. Those are the things that get people hitting that share button.
A powerful combo. But I admit, sometimes I get so focused on trying to make something go viral that I forget why I'm even making it in the first place.
Yeah, that's a trap. Virality shouldn't be the goal. The goal is content that's authentic, engaging, valuable to your people.
It needs a purpose, a story, a reason to exist. It's about connecting, not just chasing numbers.
Right. If it goes viral, great. But if not, you haven't failed. Build relationships, build a community. That's what lasts.
It's the long game, focusing on what matters.
And stay true to yourself. Don't chase trends just to try and go viral. If it doesn't fit your brand, don't force it.
Like, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken.
Well said. Okay, let's get practical. Tips for making good content, especially for social media.
Lay it on me. Ready to put this all into action.
First, think visually. Images that tell a story, grab attention, Airbnb, travel pics, Dove, Real Women, Lego fan creations. What's your story and how can visuals bring it to life?
Creating that visual identity that fits your message. And video, right? Feels like that's huge online.
Huge. Video lets you tell stories in a way that's like dynamic. Experiment, short clips, longer stuff.
And don't forget about words. Captions, blog posts, even tweets. They can all tell stories, connect with people.
Use them well. Create images in people's minds. Evoke feelings. Start conversations.
Speaking of conversations, Instagram stories, what are brands doing well there?
Stories are great for that behind-the-scenes stuff, quick updates, interacting with people. Remember those tips? Music, stickers, polls, Q&As. Make them fun.
I love those countdown stickers. Building hype.
Good one. Progression posts, telling a story over several slides, hiding hashtags to keep things clean, custom fonts to match your brand.
Story takeovers too, right?
Yeah. Work with an influencer, get a fresh perspective.
But it all comes back to, those are just tools. They can't fix bad content.
Truth. Quality, genuine stories. That's the heart of it. Don't get lost in the fancy stuff.
Authenticity again. Seems like that's the thread through all of this.
It is. In a world where everyone's trying to look perfect online, being real, it makes you stand out.
Let your guard down a little. Show your true self.
To wrap this up, remember, marketing is always changing. What works today might not work tomorrow. What's controversial now might be normal later. The only thing that's for sure is that things will change.
Makes it exciting though, right? Embrace the challenge, stay curious, keep learning.
Experiment, take risks, tell stories that matter.
Because that's what it's all about. Connecting, inspiring, making a difference.
Jesus said it better myself. Thanks for having me on this deep dive. It's been fun.
I've learned so much. This marketing world is complex, but fascinating. Listener, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. I hope you've enjoyed it too. Now go out there and create something amazing.